Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. On Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast, we feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcast of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, the 12th day of December, 2019, and the scripture reading this week is Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 3 through chapter 36, verse 43. Obadiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And the New Testament portion is Matthew, chapter 26, verse 36 through 46. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook. We're also on Instagram and LinkedIn. You can find us at hashtag Watchman. And Twitter is hashtag Warn Radio, hashtag Watchman IS216. And you can now join us on us.life. Look for us at hashtag Warn Radio and also on MeWe, MeWe. Look for us at hashtag Warn Radio. And the Warn Radio Network is available through these carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Deezer, and Google Podcasts. You can find shows on our website at warn-usa. In our posts for listening and downloading, and you can find on our websites, we have Spreaker, that's at warn-usa.com, and danaglennsmith.com. This week, the articles we feature by the Watchman are Servant Disciple, He is Not Above His Master. Servant Disciple. One of the common themes of the gospel in end-of-days scenario is trouble worldwide. Matthew chapter 24 warns we are not to be deceived. Not only the chaos of wars between nations and ethnic groups will occur, we also find natural disasters, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes around the world during the same period of time. The startling fact is that these things are described as the beginning of sorrows. Luke chapter 21 and Mark 13 also relate the troubling end of days scenarios. Also, Christian living today, vapor in the midst of time. Christian living, it is true. Life passes by like a mist. Your life, whether you are a Christian or not, is here today and gone tomorrow. It is a vapor in the midst of time. A place before eternity is where you are right now. How you act, what you do, and more importantly, what choices you make. Yes, these will determine it all. So please take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. They will give you peace in this time that we're living in. We have hope. And please pass them along to your friends. They're inspired articles and very important to read. And also this week, or right now, we're offering a free ebook. It's House of Long Shadows. It is known as a generation that gave America away. So you can get this free ebook by going to danaglennsmith.com. This has been the generation of Americans who gave away America, forsook the Lord God, and sold themselves into bondage because of their sin. In the House of Long Shadows, we find an epitaph of America. In the House of Long Shadows, we find an America whose house is filled with sin and rebellion. This is a house with a vibrant and chilling tale of beginning, but today a house that is divided and a people whose long shadow casts darkness over the land. It is a time of reflection, repentance, and of hope. Here we want to believe that somehow, some way, a people will find the true light. And you can get that free ebook by going to danaglennsmith.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad we can be here. Thank God. Yes, he's good. I'm looking forward to tonight's study on Oracles of Damascus, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 27.
Yeah, we're getting up there. 27 parts.
Probably be 155 before we're dead or more. Oh, that's funny.
Well, you know, we're planning on doing a long study here. And that's exactly what I intend to do. Because, you know, really, when I took Isaiah in college, it was like one semester, if that.
Huh. Well, that doesn't
this
seem like enough time to cover it.
It does.
One semester?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's what it was. We only had one book.
Yeah.
That I can remember. Of course, that's been a few days ago. I had all, you know, I had a ton of college books. I got a few of them here. I don't know where the rest of them are. They're somewhere. You know, but, well, at any rate, we're glad to be here. I didn't really pay much attention to what these people are doing in the house. The few excerpts I seen was about typical for people who refuse to acknowledge the truth. I don't give them any quarter. I don't pay attention to them. I will not listen to them. I will have nothing to do with them. Because the whole thing is predicated upon bearing false witness. And some of the stuff I've seen him blaming Trump for, I mean, they're blaming him for practically everything.
Oh, I know.
You know,
it's
they're just
horrible.
They got a wall, so they get, you know, all their stuff, and they like squads. You know, just if you spit enough of them, you might hit something or might stick to the wall. So they got their and they shoot it at the wall with his portrait on it, trying to hit it, trying to convince the world that their impeachment is fair. Well, they lost out on that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, I seen a video here not too long ago on our Twitter feed. A young boy, a white boy with a Trump shirt on, got the daylights beat out of him by three large black females. miles.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was a school bus, and they were big. And so they were just beating the living tar out of them. The attorney, they're suing the school and the whole nine yards. But, you know, the problem you have is a lot of these kids are lawless. And it's a symptom of society. And, folks, it's not going to get any better. People need to repent. And the church needs to stand up and stop pussyfooting around and get the word out. That doesn't mean they're going to listen. But when you stand before God Almighty, he's going to ask you, why did you tolerate that? And you kept your mouth shut. You had a nice church. You went all the time, and yet you didn't do nothing. You just sat there and played church. You didn't open your mouth. You didn't try to stop anybody from doing this. You did nothing. See, that's what we find in Revelation too. The Nicolaitans, just to name one group. You know, the churches didn't do nothing. They allowed them to operate within their midst. And in America, we need to stand up and tell these people, hey, this is not what we're about. It's not what America's about. It's never been what America was about.
That's right.
But America's lost her way, and she's lost her way before, so... You know, the thing of it is when they had the Civil War, even when the Civil War was over, the trouble wasn't. They had trouble for years and years and years after that. It was a mess. It took generations for people to start being civil to one another again. And we're worse than that Civil War today. We're not even at war, but we've got a war, and we treat each other like, you know, you would treat an enemy. I mean, it's just despicable the way we do in this country today, and we think it's all right. But the nations of men are the same way, especially in their governments. I've said this many times. So at any rate, we're going to start this. We got to get going on this. So. I don't want to get caught up with the other.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Isaiah 17:8. You know, the Lord sends judgment. And the idea is redemptive, to get you to stop doing stuff and to let you understand you shouldn't have done those things. We were talking in verse 6 of Isaiah 17 about the gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as in the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough. We talked about even if you had an apple tree, and you were shaking it, not all the apples would come down. You'd have some clear in the uppermost tree. You see, that's the way this judgment was. There was a remnant left. That's what it's talking about. The shaking is what God is doing in this particular judgment. And he shakes them, and they fall. Because they're not rooted. In order to keep from falling, you need to be clinging to what? Like if you're an apple, you're clinging to the tree, baby. As the Lord said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You don't want to be shaken, you don't want to fall. You better be hanging on to the Lord. You better be rooted in him. Matter of fact, the Lord gives a lot of parables about that, various things he says about them, about being rooted. Well, when this judgment came, not only would there be a remnant, but you see, the idea of judgment is to teach people a lesson. God is saying, no, you can't do that. Yes, I created you and give you the choice. But there comes a time when your sins are so grievous, I intercede. I'm the God. You're the one that I made. And he that is created is not greater than the one who created him. Of course, this is a problem with man. Verse 7 says, at that day shall a man look to his master, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Well, it's about time. It's about time they look back to the Lord from whence they had fallen. See, that's what judgment does. Anytime you get too big for your britches, God will find a way to bring you down. That's why I'm not worried about the Democrats. I'm not worried about America either. America's doing a lot of things wrong, and it's going to be judged along with the rest of the nations. And it's about time you understood that you need to figure out where you're going to plant yourself. No matter what nation you're in, you need to be rooted in Christ. And today, if we look at the governments of men, the governments of men are the issue. Even in the UK, as they're going through another, an election there, and it all centers around the Brexit, and they've had a lot of chaos and trouble up there. In Israel, they're going to the third election, trying to figure out what to do there about a government. In China, they've had nothing but trouble with the government in Hong Kong, not to mention have trouble in China, so they're shutting down churches. In America, we're having trouble because the Democrats don't seem to have any sense in impeaching Trump over everything that they can think of, and there's no evidence. And we heard from the IG, the inspector general, which is not really the top figurehead. The one you need to look for is Barr, and the one that he appointed, their reports, because that will mean that somebody's going to jail if he finds them guilty. You see, judgment. See, you may think you're tough. You see, we do so many things. And we think we're so tough. But see, the very air you breathe, the marrow that's in your bones, it doesn't take much for God to just take your life. It's not much for your own reaping and sowing mechanism for whatever you sow that you're going to reap. People are dying every day. And so after the judgment, they start looking to the Holy One of Israel again because they learned their lesson. Well, listen, boys, we don't want to do that again. I think we better pay attention this time. Get rid of our other gods. In verse 8 of Isaiah 17, he says, and he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall he have respect, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. Now, you see, this is where people, especially those in the Messianic realm, they start dissing Christmas and a lot of the Christians because they got pine trees or some other kind of tree and they decorate it. And so they equate that with the groves and the trees associated with the Asherah and the other images that they make, because that's where they set them up and they would worship them. they would make these gods, a lot of them. I mean, the way that they did it, of course, would take the wood, carve out an image, and they would get brass work or gold work, which is, they work it and they pound it soft. They work at it. They have artisans and they just pound it right around that wood and it forms itself. So thus they make themselves a pretty god. Israel actually got into a lot of this along with a lot of other things. So they're not going to look or regard the idols which they had before. That which they fell to, because it was not worthy to look at. The reason it wasn't worthy to look at is because the next time you do it, you may not be alive, because the judgment would be even worse. Now, the images here reflect the sun god of the Phoenician monuments, the groves of the Asherah, or image of the moon goddess. And, of course, you find Baal, Asherah, and all the host of the Queen of Heaven, all of which Israel had adapted into worship. Lest you think Israel was the worst one, all we have to do is ask, how many gods do you have, O nations of men? How many gods do you have, America? I can guarantee you, America... You know, that old saying goes, there was, this was a Judeo-Christian society, but in America there was always other gods. And of course, today we've got Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. We got atheism, we got witchcraft. A plethora of foreign gods, foreign beliefs, because we have freedom of religion here. And that's okay. I have no problem with that. We are not a theocracy. But when I was raised, where I was raised, and how I was raised, we didn't have Muslims. We didn't even have blacks. We had Christianity. And we had a few Mormons hanging around, and we had Catholics. We had Baptists. We had just about every kind of Christian denomination or Christian-related religion you could think of. And we had hippies and cowboys and Indians and white boys. That was America. And I had friends with all of them. Some of the worst enemies I had was the white boys. But you see, America is not America anymore. And really, you have to wonder if we'll ever learn our lesson. You know, we really, during World War II, we weren't overrun like Europe was. We were not destroyed like the South Pacific had been. We were not destroyed like what happened to Japan. America had a couple of islands up by Alaska, outside of Alaska, that the Japanese actually landed on. But there wasn't much else. The next major war, you'll have troops, foreign troops, on American soil. One day, it'll happen. I would not look forward to it. But look at Israel. They had been warned. Look what happened when Jeremiah warned them, for as long as he warned them, and then they went into captivity in Babylon. And everybody in the world knows how bad Israel was. But you look at the pagan nations, the Gentile nations that surround them, which includes Iran and the Palestinians and Syria and Libya. See, they don't consider themselves sinners, but when they look at Israel, Israel is a really bad boy. Israel has been paying for her mistakes ever since she was sent into captivity. But as I pointed out many times, Israel only had what we would call the northern tribes, or the house of Israel, which was 10 tribes. And then Judah, which was at Jerusalem. And they also had the Levites down there, which was not a tribe, but a service, something that they had to do. They had no land inheritance because the Lord was their inheritance and Benjamin was there. And they went into captivity into Babylon. That's the only two. But you see, we have a plethora of history of Gentile nations getting judged. Let's go to Babylon. Let's go to Nineveh. The first time it repented, the second time it was judged. Sodom and Gomorrah, we're talking about the Damascus right here. We've got a number of them that we've been talking about. We had all the nations that God judged and gave their land to Israel. We have the fact that Lot escaped, of course, out of Sodom, and the fact that God flooded the earth because of the sins of men. So when we actually look into biblical history, we see that by far there were more Gentile nations, goyim, or unbelievers, heathen nations, that were judged than any other, like the Jews, I mean. And for some reason, many of these don't think they have a problem. But India has so many gods, it's just mind-boggling because of their beliefs. And then there's the animistic beliefs. Oh, there's so many of them. There's the idol belief of Buddha. Everybody in America, they love their Buddha statues. That's kind of a popular thing, used to be. But most Americans didn't buy it to worship him. They just thought it was cool. But you see, it's important because in Isaiah 17, we're getting into the point that they're not going to do this anymore. They're not going to look at the altars, the work of their hands. They're not going to pay attention to idols and groves and images. They are not going to do that. Why? Because they've learned their lesson. Now, fast forward to the new covenant. We preach Christ. Now, Tower and I have been together for a long time. Very, very long time. But back in the 70s, you know, the 70s, early 70s, they were just the tail end of the 60s. There was still a lot of stuff going on. But you know, the thing of it is when people get saved in Yahshua or Jesus, old things become new. When God touched my heart, I was out in the middle of nowhere. I'd driven outside of this city. Tower wasn't with me. And as I drove, the voice of the Lord spoke to me in that truck. And so along the shoulder of the road, on the grass, as people were going by out in the middle of nowhere, I received the Lord. I know the spot. So you see, I had been in the church all my life. But what I learned was there is an experience being born again to the Spirit. John 3. To receive him, which I did on that day. John 1. And he'll give you power to become the sons of God. Old things that you used to do were gone, and you got new things to do. No interest in the Word of God before. Today it's opened up because you received the Lord. You have His Spirit. There is a difference. So if you go to a church and they say they're Christians and they're living like pagans, get out of there. And if you think just because God judged Israel and the other nations, he's not going to do anything with America or Christians today, you're nuts. God is not mocked, and he's not happy with your idolatries, your fornications, and your pastors and hirelings that are standing in the Bema seat, and they're lying through their teeth when they tell you some of the things. They're reading it out of the Word of God, they say, but it is out of context and headed for hell. So when I read Isaiah, I think a little bit about today. Because Paul emphasized the fact that these things are written for our edification. In Isaiah 17:9, in that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough. And an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, there shall be desolation. In Isaiah 17:3, a few earlier verses, it says the fortress of Ephraim was abolished. And that's what verse 9 says. Is referring to. The forsaken bough here is Ephraim, and the uppermost branch is the Amorites, and their fate is the same. Well, see, Ephraim has a lot of problems. Verse 10, it says, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it up with strange slips. That's like having a garden and planting it with stuff that you can't eat, or that'll poison you. God had a vine. Israel was that chosen vine, but if we go to the New Testament, Yeshua, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. What part of that don't we understand? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We need to have that in the walls of Congress. You know, they do have scripture writing over there. and they have a chaplain up there, you wonder why on God's earth they treat each other like they're enemies. We're supposed to be working towards the same thing, but the devil's got in the details there, and people in their pride are sold out to darkness. They love darkness more than they love light, which the Lord warned about in John chapter 3, after John 3:16, which every Christian on earth knows by heart. They may not know any of the rest of the Bible, but dear God in heaven, they know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. But yet, knowing that, they go on and live in darkness, because it's more than just believing with your head, baby. It is repentance. It is being born again of the Spirit. It is receiving him so he can give you the power to become the sons of God. And a belief that does more than just head knowledge. A belief gets down into your gut, and you just don't believe with the head, but with the actions and emotions and who you are, you become transformed. Well, see, we're really good at religion in this country, especially Christian religion. Well, look at Europe. We had massive revivals across Europe and even in Germany, over into the islands, the UK. We had some of the greatest evangelists on the face of the earth come out of these places. Look at them today. Look at the governments of men. Look at the Middle East. Look at Jerusalem. That's where your Lord walked. But you know how much blood has been shed there? Scripturally, spiritually speaking, Jerusalem is known as Sodom and Egypt because of the sin that has gone on there and the spirits that are there. Islam is not going to save Jerusalem. Judaism is not going to save them at all, and neither is Christianity. The only power that can save anybody in the Middle East is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is he whose eyes burn as the fire of the eternal, and whose bronze feet can walk and melt the earth with one step. The double-edged sword can slay every enemy in the universe, but yet his heart of mercy will forgive you because he died for you. And that's why we're finding in the Middle East, among Muslims and even Hindus, the enemies of God are becoming believers now. We're seeing them get saved at an increasing rate. While America falls away, while the westernized Christianity falls away, you see, Ephraim should have known better. Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, and the blessings of Abraham flowed through Ephraim. In Ephraim, the nations, we're going to be blessed. Ephraim is a steak half turned. Have you ever cooked a pancake on one side and tried to eat it? It's pukey. You got to cook it on both sides. Have you ever seen anybody with dual loyalties? One foot's in heaven, the other foot's in hell. Which one's going to save him first? And Ephraim, instead of following and serving the Lord God and looking to him, they looked to the king of Damascus. Of course, whenever we talk about that, that king signifies unclean or wickedness. See, what the Lord wanted was, if they got in trouble, to call on him, just like he did with David and the others. But there came a generation that grew up in Israel that didn't know the Lord. And so there came up generation after generation that did not only know the Lord, they didn't even know how our country was founded. And they became spoiled brats and didn't know which way to go. So they went their own way. Now, make no mistake, not all young'uns are like that. There is a plethora of young people who know exactly who they are and who the Lord is. You see, I'm a gardener. So is Tower. We grow things. And when they get grown, we harvest them. And then we put them up and we eat them. But a fruitful garden wouldn't be one if we just planted poisonous plants, things that would kill you. So then when you put it up and eat it, you're going to die. I mean, that'd be stupid. Who would do that? Well, you see, Israel, God wanted a fruitful garden to be just like the Garden of Eden, just plenteous, blessed, pure, and righteous. Now, let me tell you something, folks. That's what God wants with his children who serve him today. Even in this evil, wicked, upside-down world we live in, God may not be happy with the nations, but his heart is on the remnant. His heart is also on those who need help. His heart is on those who are willing to repent. You see, the problem with Ephraim and even Israel over time, they filled their garden with the fruits of darkness. I mean, look around you, America. We do things in this country called America that politicians are ensuring you can do, and they can look in the camera and say it, and they won't blush, they won't laugh, they'll be serious. Wow, there's nothing wrong with this. Yes, it is. How about the 8 different states, last time I looked anyway, I wrote about it in this last article I did. Well, that and a lot of other things. Eight states that decided they could kill a baby at the birth of a mother, you know, when the mother births. So when she gives birth, now you see, it used to be, and I heard this from a testimony from a nurse who attended a lot of abortions. And she says, if a baby was to be aborted, they had to abort it in the womb. They had to kill it in the womb. If you brought that baby outside the womb and killed it, it was known as murder, and they could convict you. Yep. So they wanted to change the law, and they did. In 8 states now, they can bring the baby outside the womb, and they can decide. If the mother and father are there and they say, we don't want the baby, they won't do anything and they'll let it die. But if they want it to live, then they'll resuscitate it. They'll keep it alive. But it's about life and death. And then, of course, we're teaching our kids abomination after abomination. We are doing things that are a disgrace to even discuss. And if you're an American and lived in this country, I don't need to go into nauseating detail about what these things are, and I don't intend to do it. If you live in America and think everything's fine and you don't see anything wrong with it, you need to fast and pray and get into the book until an angel knocks you over the head with some truth. See, one thing about it, Kyle and Delish spoke about Ephraim, and they said they cultivated all kinds of sensual accompaniments to its worship. In accordance with its heathen propensities, and of course, when they went with the king of Damascus, he was definitely unclean. But you see, the Catholic Church has been adding all kinds of accompaniments to its worship for centuries. Matter of fact, when the conquistadores came in, along with the priests from Rome, they actually incorporated some of the pagan rites that the people were doing into their worship in order to get them to come into the church. And they adapted even some of the gods, and the people in there continued to do it. And this even hit the news a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, when they were talking about the fact that some of the things that the people were doing, serving these other gods, was actually causing trouble in the Catholic Church itself. Because there's people in the Catholic Church that think those are idols. You shouldn't have anything to do with them. And then, of course, there's Saint Muerte, the spirit of death. The saint of death. We heard a testimony one time when we were watching a documentary on a lot of these gangs and hitmen that these Mexican warlords, drug lords were using. And they would pray to this Saint Muerte, the spirit of death, the saint of death, to bless them as they went forth to assassinate somebody. And these are men and women doing the assassinating. You start getting tied up in that stuff and your soul's headed to hell quicker than you can shake a stick. So we're looking at Ephraim. We're looking at some of these things. And the bottom line of it is, you need to pay attention. Isaiah 17:11, in the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. You see, another way of saying this, what you reap or what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You know, people can stand up today and they can swear before God that there is no Savior, there's no Jesus Christ, there's no need, they can swear there's no heaven, there's no hell. You know, they can say anything because God gives them the right to say it. They can live their lives as millionaires or live their lives as paupers. They can live their lives as terrorists, and they can go pillage and rape and kill and murder. And after every time they do it, they can justify themselves and thank their God that they're going to be in paradise. But on the day when the harvest comes, there's going to be grief and sorrow. That's why the picture in Revelation comes out that when they see the Lord, the nations of men and women are in horror and weep. They're not going to be happy when they see him because they've been sowing to the wrong thing. And see, this is basically what happened to Ephraim. They took a wrong path. Israel did too. But see, within all of this, there is a redemption. God could just wipe everybody out. But he applies the pressure, and there's a remnant left. Make no mistake, before the judgment hit, there were those that repented. In Isaiah 17:12, it says, "Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters." The rush of many nations in conquest. Now, this is like Sennacherib and his armies. Isaiah 29 says in verse 1, "Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, and let them kill sacrifices." This is a word for Jerusalem, Ariel. Verse 5, it says, "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly, and thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake, great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and ammunition, that distress her shall be as the dream of a night vision." Now, when you talk about that, now we can see this in a number of instances. Daniel, the last chapter of Daniel, I think it is. There's a few in there, but there's another one, Zechariah, last chapter there. Revelation. We see also in the Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, it's all going to be centered around Jerusalem. The Lord's coming back. Now, you see, when you have an army, even an army that's invading, when it was going to invade Israel, you could hear them. You could first hear the rumor from other people who would flee the army. And then after the rumor, you could see them with the dust that they lifted up. And then you could see them on the horizon as they came. And as they got closer, the noise and the hooves and the chariots were louder and louder and louder. Well, in the end of days, we know from the scenario that it's going to be one big battle. That if the Lord doesn't come again, there'll be no flesh left. But the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. The Lord, when he comes, it says he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. I say that a lot because it's true. It's hard to believe that that's what we would do, but we will. And we're not talking global warming here. If you think global warming is a problem, then you haven't paid attention to the 500 scientists that tried to tell Greta Thunberg, or whoever she is, and all the liberals who backed her. The poor kid's been used. But she doesn't think so. She's important now. People only believe what they want to believe. And in America, we have a self-assuredness here. But be careful, your sins will find you out. That which the Democrats are doing, lying the way they are, that's bearing false witness. every Democrat and every person that supports them take place in that sin, bearing false witness. Now, we've got a lot more that we're going to talk about next time, about the nations rushing. It's very important to understand this, because literally that's what's going to happen. They're all going to rush into the time of judgment. They won't be able to stop it. It won't be global warming. But it shall arrive. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Root in our hearts to understand. And the whole purpose is for us to know the Lord. We live in perilous times, Lord, and we need you. We need to repent. We need you in our heart. We need to acknowledge you. We need to follow you, because only you can deliver us and save us from what is coming, even in America. The nations of men will fall. It is your kingdom we want. Forgive us, Lord. Be with us. Help your people to understand. Give them spiritual clarity and understanding, wisdom and knowledge into your word. Forgive them and help them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Okay, Tower. Don't forget to go to danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com.
Dana.
Yeah.
I made a mistake when I announced the show. It's part 28, not 27.
Yeah, it is. It is part 28.
Yeah, so I wanted to make that clear. Okay, good. Well, that was good tonight. I enjoy this. You don't want to rush this because it's just too deep, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, at any rate, we're through another one, and we're going to be part 29 next week. And we'll get through the book in our own time. It's more important just plug along. We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you, and we pray for you. Hope the best for you. May God richly bless you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.